Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Okay, gosh, seems like John yelling at people and spitting on people, he's cleared out the center area here. If y'all hadn't noticed, I'm not Big John, all right? Just in case anyone had questions about that. In case you don't know who I am, because I hide up in the sound booth most of the time, I'm Bert Schmitz. I am one of the volunteer pastors here at Christ Community Church. I think I'm the utility infield pastor. I kind of do whatever the other guys don't want to do. So that's what I get to do. Today we're going to talk about a subject that we don't think about and we don't voice very often. Oh, thank you, Debbie. I forgot Miss Nani's class. Nani's class. The little ones can go on out. The folks that normally go to children's worship, sorry, we had a little cross-up and we don't have children's worship. But I want you to know the children were worshiping. I was sitting right over here listening to them worship. They were singing good, made my heart feel good. I like that. All right. So, a question that we don't often ask ourselves, but it's kind of in the back of our minds often, is why should I live right? Why should I do what's right? Okay? You think about that. We talk about grace. You know, we've had a whole series on grace. And we sing songs about grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What do you got to do to get grace? Not much of anything. I mean, grace is not getting what you deserve, isn't it? Or no, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Did I get that? Yeah, grace is getting what you don't deserve. None of us deserve what we get when we get graced. But we get it. Think about this. What does it say? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Grace, it's a free gift. We don't have to do anything. Just believe. And by the way, if you go look in John, it tells us that he even gives us the faith to believe. So it's really not a work of ourselves. We have no part in it. It's given to us freely. I've been witnessing to folks for a long time in several continents, all over the world. And this is something I've heard from lots of different people. It's just too easy. Is it really that easy? All I got to do is believe? Yeah, you ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to do no sacrifices. You ain't got to do no works. There's nothing special. Just believe. Just believe. Ah, it's way too easy. Think about that song that Matthew West sings. Grace wins every time. He really got it right. Listen to part of it. For the prodigal son, grace wins. For the woman at the well, grace wins. For the blind man and the beggar, grace wins. For always and forever, grace wins. For the lost out on the street, grace wins. For the worst part of you and me, grace wins. For the thief on the cross, grace wins. For the world that is lost. There's a war between guilt and grace. They're fighting for a sacred place or space. But I'm living proof. Grace wins every time. No more lying down in death's defeat. Now I'm rising up in victory, singing hallelujah. Everybody say this together. Grace wins every time. Grace wins all the time. So the question is, if there's so much grace out there, why should I do what's right? Let's look and see what the Bible says about this subject. We're going to start out in Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. So, I mean, this is not a new question. Paul dealt with this question. If grace is so great, why don't we just live in sin to get more grace? Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21 say this. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, look at that. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That's really a great word that says grace superabounded all the more. So where there's sin, there's super, super, duper, duper grace. So, man, if I'm going to get grace every time I sin, why don't I just sin some more? Why live right? Because the more I sin, I can get more grace, right? Y'all are not jotting your heads either way. Nod your heads. Let me know that you're out there, okay? So what do you think? Sin more so we can get more grace? I got lots of no's. I'm glad with that. So we're going to look at the answer to that. The Look at verse 2 of chapter 6. There'd never be! Never, ever. Thank you for laughing. Never, never, ever, 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 ever. That is the strongest negative that you can have in the Greek language. May it never, ever, 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 ever be that you would live that way. Never! How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We're dead to sin. It has no power over us. Never should we live in sin if we've died to sin. Look at this. We've died to sin. Verse 2, the verse of that says, we've died to sin. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. That's right after Paul is just talking about the picture of baptism. What does baptism do? I mean, here in our church, what do? We open up the coffin up here, and what do? We put someone in it, and we dunk them under. We bury them to sin. It's a picture. Then buried to sin, just like Jesus was buried. We're buried. But what happens? We don't hold them down until they quit bubbling. All right? We raise them back up, because what did Jesus do? Did he stay in the grave? Did he stay in the grave? No, he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again in newness of life. Same picture for us. We died to sin. We're buried. And we rise again in newness of life. Isn't that a great picture? You ever thought about that? Think about that. Why sin? We're dead to it. It's gone. Dead to sin. Now look at verse 11 too. I mean, let's look. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus. Alive to God in Christ Jesus. So we're made, you know, it just doesn't stop with being dead to something. We're alive to something else. We're alive to God in Christ Jesus. Given a relationship with God. Man, that's a cool thing. The God who created us, the God who made everything, we get a relationship with Him. Dead to sin. Why sin if we're dead to it? You know, the only people that don't sin anymore are dead people. You ever thought about that? Dead people don't sin. That's why we're dead to sin. I want you to take a quick look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55. Can't read my notes without my glasses. It's 57. Because when Christ died and rose again, he vanquished once and for all the power of sin and death over our lives. He took care of it. Listen to this. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You catch that? We're dead to sin. We've been given a victory over sin. It's not of ourselves, lest any of us should boast. It's not because I'm a super Christian that I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin because Christ makes me dead to sin because I'm in Him and been raised up to newness of life. Isn't that cool? Let's look at, if you're dead to sin, we're alive in Christ. We're going to look at a couple of verses now. We're going to read verse chapter 6, verse 4, and then verses 8 through 11. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Pause. Newness of life. What was our manner of life before we were saved? We were sinners. Sin, 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 sin. We like to sin. Because that's what sinners do. We like to sin. Right? A new life. New life. That old life gets left behind. A new life of being alive in Christ. Of living a different life. Let me see. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Verses 8 through 11. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but that life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I know I'm hitting the same verses over and over again and saying the same thing over and over again, but this is so important to the Christian life. Being dead to sin, being alive in Christ. We don't have to do the things we did before. We can live different. We can live free. We can live lives of grace. So, part of getting through that and living through that is living ourselves, presenting ourselves to God as alive. Verses, chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So here we go again. We got grace, but because we have grace, we're not to live under law or in sin. We're to live as instruments of righteousness, things to be used by God as ministers of His grace and sharing His love with others. Why should I live right? Because we've been graced. We've been changed. We're different. It's good stuff. So, Paul finishes out this chapter on living a graced life. That could be sort of your subtitle. About continuing, should I continue in sin or not? With the picture of using slavery, and I know slavery is kind of a bad term for some folks, but he uses slavery as something that we understand as humans, because he'll say in this passage, I'm speaking to you in human terms, you choose who's going to be your master. And Paul says, I'm using the picture of slavery because I want you to see, you get to choose who your master is. Are you going to choose to serve sin, or are you going to choose to serve righteousness? So let's look at this just a little bit. Who are you going to serve? This is verses 15 through 23. Are you going to serve sin, which results in death? Verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Now, I'm going to take a pause here just a second. We're not talking about obedience in order to get saved. All right? This is obedience because we are saved. We obey because why? Because we love Him, because we want to serve Him, because we want to be with Him, because we want to bring honor and glory to His name. All right? And we're going to get to the ultimate reason why we do all this. Why live a life without sin? It's not just so that people can say, hey, look at him. He must be a Christian because he lives so right. Look at me. I'm different from all y'all sinners, and I want y'all to look at me. No, that's not it. There's an ultimate reason for living lives of obedience. It's to bring honor and glory to God. But, this summer we've been talking about the big lies on Wednesday night. And one of the big lies was, it's all about me. Well, guess what? I hate to bust everyone's balloon, but it ain't about you. It's all about God. Even Jesus serving, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, his humility and his serving, it says at the end of that hymn, verse 11, it says that Jesus Christ will be given the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it's all about God. Even us serving righteousness and being saved and being graced, it's all about God. It's not any of it about us. It's all about God and serving Him and knowing Him. All right, so that was, I actually let the cat out of the bag. So we're not going to serve sin resulting in death, because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. When you sin, the result of that sin is death. It kills you. Deader than a doornail. Doesn't help you out. Obedience results in righteousness. And it's the juxtaposition in these verses. Verse 16 starts out as slaves for obedience, sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. Verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, that's the sin side, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Verse 22, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Verse 23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why live right? Man, I'd rather serve God and have that counted to me as righteousness, and have faith counted to me as righteousness, believed God counted to me as righteousness, just like Abraham did. Why? Obeying God. Not to get saved, but because I am saved. All right? It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Last thing we want to look at is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Y'all can get out early today. Nobody said amen? Golly. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Kim. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Look, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road. The whole... how do you make this practice out? Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, this very thing. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Pig and a chicken talking in the yard. Chicken's thinking, yeah, the master's going to have eggs and bacon for breakfast. That's not bad. I'll just donate some more. Pig says, hey, that's not too good for me. It's not just a donation. It's permanent, because he has to sacrifice himself. The difference is, we don't want to be chickens for God. We want to be pigs. Now, that didn't sound good, did it? Nobody wants to be a pig, but you get the idea? God wants us to live out as a sacrifice. Now, a couple of things about that. First of all, when you live yourself out as a sacrifice, it's something that you think about and you do deliberately. It's voluntary. God don't make you live as a living sacrifice. He don't force you to do that. You got to choose to do that. You got to choose to do it. It's something you think about and you say, is this something that I want to do? It's voluntary. But when you live yourself as a sacrifice, it's something that you give entirely of yourself to do. It's voluntary. It's entirety. How about this? You're not conformed to the world. You all know what that means, not conformed. It's to be not like the world. Jesus said, I want you to be in the world, but not of the world. I want you to be salt and light to the world. Salt is different than the world. Salt does some different things to the world. It preserves it, but it also changes it, gives it good taste. All right? We're in the world. We can't change that. Not till the day that we die. But when the world sees us, they need to see us as being different in our actions, in our thoughts, in our way of living. I don't know if how many of y'all remember the Carmen song. Carmen was a Christian songwriter several years ago. Had a song, Some of That. All right, the whole idea behind the song was, I want to live a life for Christ in such a way that other people look at me and say, hey, I want some of that. I don't know what you got, brother, but I want some of that. I don't know what you got, sister, but I want some of that. Because our lives should be different enough that people go, man, I don't know what that person's got, but I want what that person has. Because they're different. They're not like everybody else. I want some of that. So how do you, you're not conformed, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a transformation that comes from the inside out. Not from the outside in, from the inside out. That renewing of your mind, that transformation, comes from God working in you. You can't force yourself to transform. I'm just going to be different. It's going to be different. I'm going to be different. I'm not different. You let God work in you. You work. You spend time with God so that He transforms you. You spend time in His Word. You spend time praying. Spend time with His people. All right? You get transformed from the inside out so that you're different. It's that metamorphosis that the butterfly goes through. You know that little ugly caterpillar goes into the chrysalis and comes out a pretty butterfly? I'm still working on becoming a butterfly, by the way. But getting transformed from the inside out so that you can prove the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's not prove as in, I'm going to prove it that to see if it is good and acceptable, but I'm going to be testing it. If the word prove there is the word for testing metals to make sure that the metal is actually what it's supposed to be. So you're proving so that you can see God's will that's perfect for you. I covered a lot of ground. Did not cover it in depth. I may have left you with more questions than answers this morning. Because you can read and study Romans chapter 6 and Romans 12, 1 and 2 for a long time and never get to the profound depths of all that it is. But this is what I want you to do. I want you all to look and say, why should I live right? Why should I be different than the world? And then as you look at that, and you look at yourselves, you measure yourself against the measure that matters, and that's Jesus. Am I where Jesus wants me to be? Am I the person Jesus wants me to be? Am I doing the things Jesus wants me to do? Am I being what Jesus wants me to be? That's a question for you. As Kim and the worship team comes up to lead us in our invitation song, y'all think about that. Am I who Jesus wants me to be? Am I changed? Do I live the life that He wants me to live? We're not here to judge you. That's for you. That's between you and God. But now's the time and opportunity to think about those things and make whatever you need to be right with God. Let's go to Him in prayer. God, thank You for loving us, for taking care of us. God, thank You for Your Word. Your Word challenges us always to live lives transformed, different from the rest of the world, so that the rest of the world can see You in us. It's not for us. It's not that we look good, but it's to bring people to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, so that everybody would have an opportunity here on this world to acknowledge Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now's your time to do business with God.
To the heavens, rising to your heart. everybody have a happy 4th of July. Enjoy the day off of church Wednesday. Let me see. Suzanne wanted me to announce that Angela Eason needs some meals provided for her. She had surgery, and so I think I got that name right. Did I get that name right? Huh? I'm sorry, Angela Sanders. Sorry. Whoever Angela Eason is, I'm sorry. Angela Sanders. Randy. Yeah. Angela Sanders had surgery and needs some meals provided for her. Please see Suzanne. I don't know where she's hiding right now. I don't see her. So find her before you leave. I don't know of any other announcements. Keep praying for the kids as they go through centrifuge this week. And I love y'all, and thank you for letting Big John be your pastor. Ready? Great!